Good evening, everyone. So today we're going to look at a dissatisfied life or a failure to enjoy life. So Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verses 1 to 12. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth, yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease. If a man begat 100 children and live many years, so that the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good, and also that he have no burial, I say that an untimely birth is better than he. For he cometh in with vanity, and departeth in darkness, and his name shall be covered with darkness. Moreover, he hath not seen the sun, nor known anything. This hath more rest than the other. Yea, though he liveth 1,000 years twice told, yet hath he seen no good. Do not all go to one place. All the labor of a man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. For what hath the wise more than the fool? What hath the poor that knoweth to walk before the living? Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. So that which has been is named already, and it is known that it is man, neither may he contend with him that is mightier than he. Seeing there be many things that increase vanity, what is man, the better? For who knoweth what is good for man in his life, or the days of his vain life, which he spendeth as a shadow? For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, giving us this opportunity to come together and listen your words, Lord. As I preach, Lord, as I prepare the words, Lord, guide us, guide me, Lord, also that a life that to please you in coming days, Lord. We pray that everyone gathered here, Lord, your words to guide them in coming days, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
So today we gathered to reflect on a very important and deeply particular portion of God's word. I believe last week, chapter 5, Brother Greg taken, and the week before, Joby. So this passage speaks directly to something every one of us understands, whether we openly admit it or not, the struggle of dissatisfaction in life. So as I was preparing this, I felt that, you know, sometimes in my life, I ran before the things, you know, worldly things. So we live in a world that constantly promises happiness. Everywhere we look, we are told that satisfaction can be found if we just have a little bit more. More money, more success, more recognition, and more comfort. So the messages of world is simple. If you have more, you will be happy. But the word of God tells us something very different. So in this passage, we have the voice of King Solomon, a man who experienced more than the most people ever will. So he had wealth beyond measure and wisdom that was unmatched, influence across nations, and opportunities that few could even imagine. If anyone could say that I have tried everything this world offers, it was Solomon. So, and yet, when he reflects on life under the sun, life lived without a full dependence on God, he comes to a serious conclusion. It is empty. It is frustrating, and it is does not satisfy. So this is not the opinion of someone who lacked opportunity. This is the conclusion of a man who had everything and still found it was not enough. So today we go through this passage. Let us not think this is this message is for someone else. Let us examine our own hearts and let us ask, am I seeking satisfaction? Am I trusting him in for peace? Am I truly satisfied in God? So this book, the whole book gives ideas. The whole book is centered off in six key ideas. Three of these are negative, and it revolve around the problems of life. One is all is vanity. The second one, man is limited. And the third one, God is hidden. The other three are positive and give the solution of life crisis. One is fear of God and keep his commandment. And the second one, enjoy life, use wisdom properly. So all six ideas scattered throughout the book, but taken together, they demonstrate that the purpose of this book is to show men that they should lead godly and joyous lives through, though we live in a world that it is very difficult. So life is feels empty without God. So sometimes we work very hard, earning money, studying, building a career, helping others, but still something is missing inside. We may achieve many things, yet the happiness does not last long. So this is what vanity means. So it is like chasing the wind. You run after it, but you cannot catch it. So this is teach us that if God is not at the center of our life, nothing will truly satisfy our heart for a long time. Then we see man is limited. We are not in the control of everything. Sometimes we think that we are in control. I was thinking I was supposed to be next week on a clinical placement for my studies, and now I don't know what I'm going to do because my mentor is on leave and she's not sure what she's going to do because her sister flying over from England and they're changing the dates for the flights. So she's supposed to land tomorrow, now they changed to Wednesday. So I'm on leave, so I'm just waiting for her call to go with her. So this is all planned well months ago, but you know, then I was thinking this Middle East war happening and before the COVID times, we all planned many things and didn't happen. So man is very limited. We are not controlling control of everything. As human beings, we have limits. We get tired, we make mistakes, and we cannot control the future. Even when we plan everything carefully, things can go wrong. This reminds us to be humble. We are not all powerful. We need God to help us in our decision, our work, and our daily life. And we see sometimes we don't always understand his ways. So God is hidden sometimes. There are times when we pray, but we don't see answers immediately. Sometimes life becomes confusing and we don't understand why things happen. It can feel like God is far away, but this does not mean he is absent. God is still working even when we cannot see or understand him. We are called to trust him during these times. And then respect and obey God. So when we read this whole chapter, fear God and keep his commandments. So this means we should live with the respect of God in everything we do. We should try to do what is right, follow his words, and live a life that pleases him. So when we fear God, we make better choice, treat others well, and live with a clear purpose. Then also, when we see this chapter, be thankful for simple blessings. So enjoy life. God does not want us to live in sadness. He wants us to enjoy the life He has given us. This includes small, simple things, family, friend, food, rest, whatever we call it, trips, and daily moments of joy. So instead of always worrying about tomorrow, we should learn to be thankful and be happy today. And then the last one, we see this in this book, use wisdom properly. So make good and careful decisions. So wisdom means thinking carefully before we act. It helps us to choose what is right and avoid trouble. So in daily life, wisdom helps us to speak kindly, work honestly, and handle situation calmly. So when we use wisdom, our life becomes more peaceful and meaningful. So before we go into this passage, it is important to understand the life of Solomon, because his life gives way to this word. So who is Solomon? So Solomon was son of David, chosen by God to be king over Israel. At the beginning of his ruling, God appeared to him and gave him a remarkable opportunity to ask anything he desired. And Solomon did not ask for wealth or long life. Instead, he asked for wisdom to lead God's people. So this pleased God greatly. Not only did God grant him wisdom, but he also gave him riches, honor, and peace in his kingdom. So Solomon became known throughout the world for his wisdom. Kings and queens came to hear him speak. His kingdom flourished. His wealth was extraordinary. So, but sadly, as time went on, Solomon had drifted. Though he had great wisdom, he did not always walk in obedience. So he allowed influences into his life that drew him away from full devotion to God. And it is from this place of reflection, after experiencing both the blessing of God and the emptiness of turning away, that Solomon write these passages. So these words are very important for us. These are not just teachings. They are lessons learned through experience. So from Solomon's life, we learn two important lessons. First, true wisdom comes from God, and we should seek it above everything else. Second, it is not enough to begin well. We must remain faithful to God throughout our lives. So wisdom without obedience can lead to failures. So for us, Solomon's life is both an example and a caution. So it reminds us to seek God wholeheartedly, to value his wisdom, and to remain faithful to him in everything we do all in our life. So when we look at this passage, the first portion, the problem of having everything but not enjoying nothing. So Solomon begins with a situation he calls a great evil. A man is given riches, possession, and honor. He lacks nothing. Everything he desires is within his reach, yet he does not have the ability to enjoy it. This is one of the most striking truths in this passage. It is possible to have everything and still feel empty. So we might think, if I had that kind of life, I would be satisfied. But Solomon says, no, even when satisfaction is not guaranteed. Why? Because enjoyment itself is a gift from God. Without God, even blessings lose their meaning. So without God, the heart cannot rest. Without God, there is always something missing. A person may have a good job, stable income, a respected position, or a comfortable life, but and yet deep inside there is no peace. This is something we must understand clearly. Satisfaction does not come from what we have. It comes from our relationship with God. And then when we come to the second portion of this chapter, we see a long life without satisfaction. Verse 3 to 6, we see without a long life without satisfaction. Solomon goes further. He speaks about a man who has a large family and lives many years. By all outward measures, this is successful and blessed life. But there is a problem. His soul is not satisfied. He may live long, but he does not enjoy life. He may leave behind much, but he does not experience joy in it. So Solomon even makes a shocking comparison here. He says that in such a situation, a stillborn child is better off than man. Why would he say something so strong? Because life without satisfaction, life without meaning, life without God, no matter how long, it remains empty. So this challenges the way we often think. We tend to measure life by length of years, number of achievements, size of family, amount of possessions, but God measures it differently. A short life lived with God is far more meaningful than a long life lived without Him. So then we come to the verse 7 and 9. Solomon then describes the nature of human desire, the endless cycle of desire. He says that all our labor is for our appetite, yet our appetite is never satisfied. So this is something we all experience. So when we get what we once desired, we enjoy it for a short period, but soon we want something more. So we achieve one goal, then we set for another one. So we buy something new, then we look for the next upgrade. We reach one stage in life, then we long for the next. So the cycle never ends. This is the nature of human heart. Apart from God, it is never at rest. So we always wanted something. We always wanted more. So Solomon also asks an important question here in verse 8. What advantage does the wise man have over the fool if both are chasing satisfaction in the same wrong place? So in other words, wisdom alone does not solve the problem. If God is not at the center, he concludes with a simple but powerful thought. Better is the sight of eyes than the wandering of desire. So it is better to be satisfied with what we have than to constantly chase what we do not have. So then when we come to the last portion of this chapter, we see the limits of life and the human control. So as I earlier said, Solomon reminds us our limitations. Everything about life is already known to God. We cannot change who we are or control everything that happened to us, but we cannot argue with God or overcome his authority. The more we try to reason everything out, the more we realize how limited we are. This should lead us to humility. We are not in control of life the way we often think we are. So we cannot control the future. We cannot guarantee outcomes what we do. We cannot fully understand everything. And when we try to find satisfaction through our own control, we only become more frustrated. And Solomon ends by asking, who knows what is truly good for a person in this life? Who can tell what will happen after him? These questions remind us that the life is uncertain, but God is not. So what is the lesson for our lives from this passage? There are several important lessons for us as believers. So true satisfaction comes from God alone. So nothing in the world can replace God. No achievement, no possession nor relationship can fill the place that belongs to him. And then we see satisfaction does not come naturally. Satisfaction is a spiritual discipline. It is something we learn as we walk with God and trust him daily. And another thing that we can learn from this, be careful what we pursue. So not everything that looks good will satisfy. We must be careful not to spend our lives chasing things that will not last. And then the next point, enjoy what God has given. We should not reject blessings, but we must recognize them as gifts from God and enjoy them with a gratitude. And then the final one, we keep God at the center of life. So when God is at the center, everything else finds its proper place. Without him, everything becomes empty. So how we can apply this in our life? So this passage speaks very directly to our daily lives. In our work, in our families, in our responsibilities, we are constantly surrounded by pressures to achieve more and gain more. But we must ask ourselves, are we growing closer to God? Are we satisfied with what he has given us? Are we living for eternal things or temporary things? A simple life with God is far better than a busy, successful life without him. In our assemblies, in our homes, in our personal walk, we must teach and live this truth. God alone satisfies the soul. And then we see here the danger of comparing our lives with other people. Another reason why many people live dissatisfied lives is because of comparison. We look at others and think, they have more than me, their life is better than mine, why don't I have what they have? So this kind of thinking slowly steals our joy. Even if God has blessed us, we fail to see it, because we are always looking to someone else. Comparison is dangerous. God has given us, each of us, different path, different responsibilities, different blessings. When we compare, we forget what God has already done for us. So a thankful heart becomes a complaining heart when we look at others. So instead of saying, "Thank you, Lord," we begin to say, "Why not me?" And slowly dissatisfaction grows. So let us be careful. God knows what is best for each one of us. What he has given is enough for us. Let us learn to say, "Lord, thank you for what you have given me." So then we see the illusion of one more step. This is another reason for dissatisfied life. Another reason for, not thankful. If I reach one more step, I will be happy. That's what most people think. One more promotion, one more achievement, and one more possession. So I'm not out from this. We all do this, but we always think the next step will bring satisfaction. But when we reach this step, what happens? We look for the next one. It never ends. So this is an illusion. Satisfaction is not waiting at the next step. It is found in God right where we are. If we are not satisfied now, we will not be satisfied later. So because the problem is not outside, it is inside in our heart. So only God can change the heart. So how we can learn a life that satisfied? So satisfaction is not something we are born with, but it is something we learn as we go. So we learn it slowly, day by day with God. How do we learn satisfaction? by thankfulness. Every day take time to thank God, even for small things, health, family, food, and the peace we have. So when we thank God, our focus changes. And trusting God. So sometimes we don't have what we want, but we must trust God know what is best for us. He has not given something that is a reason. So, and also just try a life that a simple life. So we don't need too much to live. So a simple life with God is a peaceful life. And then what we can focus here, keeping an eternal focus. So this world is temporary. Everything we see will pass away, but our relationship with God is eternal. When we remember this, we don't hold tightly to things of this world that they don't belong to us. So as a believer, this is a warning for us. It is, even believers can become dissatisfied if we may know God. We regularly attend meetings, we serve in the assembly, but still inside we may restless. Why? Because slowly other things take God's place in our heart. Work becomes more important, money becomes more important, and comfort becomes more important. So, and slowly we lose our joy. We must be careful. It is not enough to start well, but we must continue well. So let us keep God first, not only in words, but in our daily lives. So live a life that a God-centered life. So now let us think about the opposite. What happens when God is at the center of our life? There is peace. Not because everything is perfect, but because our heart is at rest. A person who trusts God can say, I have enough. Even in difficulty, there is peace. Even in lack, there is satisfaction. So this is a beautiful life. Not a life with everything, but a life with God. So we can do a simple self-check. Let us take a moment to check our own hearts, ask ourselves quietly, am I truly satisfied? Do I thank God daily? Am I always wanting more? Do I feel restless inside? If there is dissatisfaction, do not ignore it. Bring it to God. Tell him honestly, Lord, I am not satisfied, help me. And God understands, God helps. We don't need to live a dissatisfied life. God has shown us the way, not through having more, but through knowing him more. Lord, let us choose today to trust God, to be thankful, to live simply, and to be satisfied what we have. Then our life will not be empty. It will be peaceful. It will be meaningful. It will be truly satisfied in God. So let us remember the central message of this passage. Life is without God will always be a dissatisfied life. So Solomon tells us clearly, nothing in this world can give lasting satisfaction apart from God. So let us not learn this lesson the hard way. So let us not spend our lives chasing things that will never truly satisfy. Instead, let us seek God first, trust in his provision, be satisfied with him, live with eternity in view. As we come to close this message, let us remember that the truth we have heard today is not only from this book, but it is confirmed throughout the whole Bible. So the word of God clearly teaches us that true satisfaction is found in God alone. We see that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21. The Lord Jesus reminds us not to lay up treasures on earth where everything can pass away, but to lay up treasures in heaven. He also said, where your treasure is, where your heart will also. So this is very important in our heart is in the world, we will never be satisfied. But if our heart is in God, we will find peace. We also see that in chapter 4, Philippians, the Apostle Paul says, I have learned to be content in whatever situation I am. So Paul did not say life was easy, but he faced hardship, suffering, and lack. But he learned satisfaction because strength was in the Lord. Satisfaction is not something we learn, as I mentioned, just like Paul learned. Also, we see that in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, godliness with contentment is great gain. So not riches, not success, but godliness with the contentment, that is true gain. We see in your presence is fullness of joy. We see that in Psalms chapter 16. So not in possessions, not in achievements, but in God's presence that is full of joy. The Bible is very clear. The world offers temporary happiness. God gives lasting joy. So the world leaves us empty. God fills our heart. So today let us make a simple decision that let us not run after things that we cannot satisfy. Let us not waste our lives chasing temporary things. Let us seek God. Let us walk with Him. Let us be content in Him. Then no matter what our situation is, our life will be peaceful and meaningful. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that speaks to our hearts. We thank you for reminding us that true satisfaction is found only in you. Lord, we confess that many times we look to the world for happiness. We desire more, we compare, and we become more restless. Forgive us, Lord. Help us to turn our hearts back to you, Lord. Teach us to be content with what you have given us. Help us to trust you in every situation in our life. Give us a thankful heart and a peaceful mind. Help us to seek you above all things, Lord. Lord, we pray that our lives will not be empty, but filled with your presence and your peace. Help us to live in a way that honors you, Lord, and to be testimony to others of satisfied life in Christ. We commit ourselves into your hands, Lord. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.